This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what that was in the beginning, but it sounded absolutely horrible. I apologize if you heard what I just heard, but the opening to that sounded, I don't even know what. Perhaps we'll get that ironed out, and hopefully you're hearing my voice loud and clear. My name is Tom Lacovara Stewart, as all of you know, Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today, you know, by the way, my board operator there just told me that it sounded normal on that side. So maybe it's just, overrunning. Anyway, today we're going to be covering some interesting content. I have with me today, Matt Thompson. For those of you who have followed the Jeffrey Winehouse, case, Bulletin Man, exposing corruption, only to be gunned down by the same corrupt organization that he was attempting to expose. Matt Thompson has been an advocate for Jeffrey Winehouse. And recently, if you guys want the full story of this, you can go to our YouTube channel at RTR Truth Media, and you can check that out. We covered this extensively. Apparently, Jeffrey Winehouse, political prisoner, politically targeted, and an attempt to physically assassinate him, and then charged after surviving four gunshots, two to the head, somehow was charged with assaulting the police when he never assaulted anyone. Well, he's in prison, and he's kind of been disappeared down into the hole. And Matt Thompson went to the prison to try and get some answers. He was polite. He was firm, but wanted some answers. So he was told to leave, and as he's leaving, he's pulled over on his way out, which they're telling him that he needed to leave, which that was, to me, indicative of needing a contact for the police report that of the warden that now has a spur on his hindquarters with Matt. So I believe that stop was constructed to substantiate the charges that they planned on doing. Anyway, he goes to, I believe it was an Arby's, wasn't it, Matt? An Arby's?
It was actually Hardee's.
Hardee's. And you know, police cars come in, blocking his car, come in, take him into custody. And for those of you out there that have been following this, you know, he's been charged now with a felony and a misdemeanor, harassment of the warden and trespassing. And of course, now he can't see or advocate for Jeffrey Winehouse, who nobody knows why he's in the hole. He's a really mild mannered man. His biggest danger was that he wasn't a pushover and he was dedicated to exposing corruption. And that was his goal. He was never antagonistic. So anyway, Matt, It's really a pleasure to have you on the show today. We're going to be talking about that as well as, you know, because of the Branch Davidian situation just the other day. And what got me into this was a post that the ATF put out on their social media, not just Facebook, but Twitter as well. And this post was so absolutely outrageous, over the top, because basically what they did was praise the officers who had died in the Branch Davidian raid. And the thing about this is, the comment section, they were just absolutely destroyed. Now, also, again, High Impact Flicks, Brian Young and I did a video on this, and we basically sat back and we read the comments, because people were actually saying, hey, we're pulling up chairs and getting popcorn out to watch this dumpster fire. It was let me read this real quick. On this day, 26 years ago, four ATF agents were killed. This is February 28th. Four ATF agents were killed in the line of duty in a mission outside Waco, Texas. Special Agents Conway LeBeau, Todd McKeon, Robert Williams, Stephen Willis demonstrated the determination and bravery that are the hallmarks of all ATF agents. We honor all the special agents present that day, whose persistence in the face of grave danger exceeded the highest of expectations. I almost can't get through this. Their bravery and brotherhood continues to unite our organization in support of our mission to protect the public. Now, oh, Matt, you should see some of the comments. And it's kind of trickled down now, but there's comments with thousands of likes. And Fast and Furious comes out. Let me read a couple of these comments, and maybe you can respond to this. Yeah, that's what happened. The ATF is solely responsible for these officers' lives being cut short. Where do we honor the women and children that were killed? First comment, I'm not sifting through. Second comment, the deaths occurred while the surviving agents were committing a crime. Why haven't the surviving agents been charged with their deaths? Third comment, this was the catalyst for the Oklahoma bombing. Now, we're going to get into that, as well as Operation PatCon and the potential. And I'm going to say that we're going to discuss in theories today. Because, you know, while there are bits of very damning evidence, there's the smoking gun is difficult because the government will not release the files, will not release the videotapes. And, you know, that's part of the biggest problem here. You know, you can operate off of all of the facts that we know, but the facts of the matter is that the government is clamming up and will not release it. And we're also going to be getting into Trenadu, who was in federal holding in Oklahoma City for probation violation. He fit the description of one of the potential John Does. He was brutally beaten, cut apart, and just horrible while he was in federal custody. And then, of course, the prison ruled it as a suicide, which makes me very concerned again for. This leads me back to being very concerned about Jeffrey Winehouse, because Jeffrey Winehouse has clear-cut evidence to prove that not only did he not assault the police, but that it was basically an execution. So when you have that kind of evidence against law enforcement and you're being held in custody in a prison at their mercy, as you saw in the Trenadu case, they not only suppressed the evidence, but they intimidated the chief medical examiner for the Justice Department, who came out and said this was a homicide. And he did so on film, said this. It was homicide. And then after pontificating and standing on that cause, Tredadu's brother, who's a lawyer, turned around and said he got a call one day from this chief medical examiner, said, yeah, I'm going to change this back to a suicide unless you can convince me otherwise. And then, of course, he found out that two FBI agents came to visit this medical examiner and took him somewhere. When he came back, he was white as a ghost, and he completely changed his tune. So this is, you know, when Rudy Davis, who is a guy, God, I love Rudy, he's one of our contributors, he created the site I Hate the FBI. Now you guys know why people like that feel that way, right? So, Matt, do you have any information on Jeff that you can share with us or any of that situation? You with us? There you go.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. I guess I got involved in the Jeff Winehouse situation because I think, you know, his case is critical. It goes to the foundation of our society. Because we must have, you know, for our children and everything going forward, we must retain the ability to criticize the government. That's an essential element. And I think that if you look into Jeff's case, that is why he was gunned down, and that is why he is in jail for 30 years. He did not commit any crime. The crime that he's charged with didn't even exist. And he's charged with assaulting officers. No officers were not assaulted by anyone that day. And he was the one that was assaulted. And so I began going to visit Jeff and found him to be the most God-fearing person. And we prayed together. You know, Jeff was not perfect. He said some things and made some videos probably he regrets. But he never did anything that would justify killing him or putting him in jail for 30 years. And, you know, he's a very religious person. And he's a very intelligent person, and I enjoy my conversations with him. I'll be very disappointed if I'm no longer allowed to visit him.
Well, I'm going to be posting this presentation on rtrtruthmedia.com later today, and we're going to leave the links in there for his contact information. And folks, I would like for you to call the warden and inquire. The public must get involved, but here's the thing. You have to do it rationally, calmly, and respectfully. I'm not talking about calling the warden to blast him and virtue signal, make yourself feel good that you told somebody off like some people have done. That type of thing can bring more heat down on a prisoner that is at the mercy of these people, like other people have done. You and I talked about that earlier, Matt. Gavin Syme recorded the phone call to the warden, and he posted it, and he's calling the warden names and going off on him. And, you know, I look at that and I go, you know, either this guy is controlled opposition or he's just lost his mind, or he's so much of a narcissist that he has to virtue signal over this issue and gain that support, because people feel the passion, right? You want to yell at them. You want to scream at them. You want to call them every dirty name in the book. But who's that? What is that doing? That's only making you feel better. It's not helping the situation. It's certainly not helping Jeffrey Winehouse, because now the warden, if he did have a shred of decency, is now only going to be sour. And when you're in federal custody or state custody, you're at the mercy of these people. It's far more productive, in my opinion, and you can comment on this if you'd like, to call them up and inquire. And to let them know that your eyes are on the situation and that you'll be contacting your congressman, your representative, or the governor, or anything else, to do so politely and respectfully. Because if you just, you know, dump a ton of gasoline on a situation that's already smoldering, you know what can happen. What are your thoughts on that, Matt?
Well, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, that was always my approach to the problem. For those that don't know, Jeff had been in the hole for over 2 weeks. I'd gone to visit him 2 weeks prior to my arrest and was told he was in the hole and that there was an investigation, and that was all they could tell me. And quite frankly, I don't think his lawyer would have even ever known had I not informed him, right? Because Jeff is prevented from calling anybody. And so I gave it some time. This went on for about 2 weeks, and 2 weeks later, it was still the same story, and I was concerned that this could go on indefinitely. And, you know, I had no way of proving. I'm suspicious that whenever we engage in activity and whenever Jeff engages in activity to advocate for his innocence, that he gets punished. But I can't prove that because I don't know what they're doing. They won't tell anybody. And you know, on the day, my approach was to go to the jail and see if I could visit him. And they told me I couldn't. And I said that I wanted to speak to the warden. And I didn't want to harass anybody at the reception or anybody underneath the warden, because I knew it wasn't their decision to make. Right. But I felt like it was possibly illegal for them to hold a prisoner and not even allow them, especially with a pending case, not even allow them to contact their attorney. and I wanted to get some answers. And so I stayed there and waited for the warden, and he came down, and he didn't give me any answers. And he said if I didn't leave, he'd have me arrested. And I left. And they later arrested me in the Hardee's, and they claimed that I was harassing, calling and harassing. And I said, no, I never called the prison, and I didn't. I never called the prison on the day. I think it's likely that they thought that the call Gavin made came from me. I think they even called him Mr. Thompson on the video that he put out. So I think, you know, they've made a mistake there. But the current situation is I've never been formally charged, but they still have my devices, and I suspect I will be formally charged at some point. But it's my hope that they would drop the charges.
I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that I mean, maybe the charges will be filed, but any prosecutor worth their salt has got to realize that, first of all, the definition of harassment in and of itself means unwelcome and inappropriate verbal or physical conduct or coercive behavior where the behavior is known or reasonably ought to be known to be unwanted or unwelcome. Now, the problem with this warden using harassment, usually there needs to be a pattern and it needs to be more than once. And first of all, there wasn't any verbal or physical conduct that was coercive. Here's the thing. The problem with this is to force somebody into doing something that they wouldn't want to do. But here's a public official. OK, he's taxpayer paid. He's doing a job. Somebody has disappeared, can't even talk to their lawyer. So, yeah, it's probably reasonably known that he's not going to want to talk or welcome any kind of verbal contact. But in the private sector, when you go up to somebody's house and do that is one thing. But as a public servant, it is First Amendment protected activity. Congress shall write no law is very clear. And that means that nobody else can either who works for government that silences your right to express yourself or to redress to redress your grievances with said government. So the use of harassment in this case is so obviously, I'd say it's a First Amendment violation upon your rights. I would actually, if they pursue it, I'd consider suing them civilly.
Well, I don't know. My whole intent is to try to get justice for Jeff and to try to reestablish that we have the right to criticize our government. And I intend to always do it politely and in the proper way. But I feel like, you know, people whose jobs are like the warden, we should be allowed to question them. And now when he told me he wasn't going to give me any answers and that I should leave before he called the police, I left. And so it's not my intention. We had a protest at the Capitol not too long ago, and they said we didn't have a permit, which I felt like we should have been able to protest without a permit unless we stopped protesting. So it's not my intention to confront in I don't belong to a militia. I don't have any expectation that, you know, we can arm up and outgun the government or anything like that. I think we ought to be able to question the government in public and to talk about what's going on.
Mm. Yeah. And well, to see how they've acted in the past. Now, this is a state institution, but you know, going back to the Trenadue case with this fellow that was in federal custody in Oklahoma, they are capable of doing just about anything. So we're justified in our questioning. Folks, we'll be right back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media on RBN.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm with Matt Thompson today. And, you know, I have some theories about Operation PatCon. You know, after reviewing so many documents and so much material over several months, especially in the past week, I've been really digging into many of the Trinidu files, you know, the different theories of Oklahoma City, the bombing, what led to it, Timothy McVeigh, his involvement, potential theories, and I say theories. I can't present something as fact unless I have a smoking gun or evidence, right? We do know everybody who listens to this network is likely to know the many different angles towards the Oklahoma City bombing and Timothy McVeigh. And I don't believe that he was a white supremacist. I don't believe that I certainly do not believe in the so-called official story. I certainly also do not believe that that the truck was the only bomb that day. I think that that is the biggest load of garbage. And they've had, and I say this is not as a theory, but there was there's many scientists, including people that have worked in that area, nuclear physicist even, who has thoroughly investigated the bombing in Oklahoma City. So if it wasn't just Timothy McVeigh, and of course it couldn't have been just an ammonium nitrate bomb that did the kind of damage that it did. And one piece of evidence that I can support this with is that there was a column that was blown out behind a column that was not in within the pathway of the truck. Okay, so understand this. Not only was the column blown out, but the steel reinforced concrete, but the steel was just completely cut. So there is a documentary that, you know, I've reached out to the filmmakers on. It's called A Noble Lie, and I believe that the evidence within that, with people that have worked for the government and in that field, that have done nothing but investigate that type of thing. No. First of all, you have the problem with ammonium nitrate, the gas that it creates. Nobody would have been able to get near it for at least a half an hour, 45 minutes after the explosion. And of course, there was no ammonium nitrate. There was no gas created by that explosion. So I do believe that there was a truck bomb. I do believe that Timothy probably he may not have even known about the other part of the operation. There were some people that were accused of being a number of John Does. I don't see any evidence that supports many of those theories. But you know, Trenadue was a guy who fit the description of one of the possible John Does, and he was basically tortured in his cell under the while he was in the custody of the BOP. Bureau of Prisons, Federal Bureau of Prisons, and they have seriously tried to cover that up too. So there's so many layers to this onion. When I say something as a theory, I'll say it's a theory. I don't have facts and evidence. But when it comes to the explosion itself, we're not being told the truth. There's no way we're being told the truth about that. I'm convinced of that from the evidence that I saw. I don't buy it. I don't think that the truck was the only thing. What do you think about that, Matt?
Well, I agree with you. I've looked into it myself, and I don't agree with the official story. And I would point out that, indeed, authorities on the day must not have agreed with the official story now either, because they, you know, there's people dying in the rubble there. And several times they evacuated everyone, said there's still explosives in here, and it's not safe for us to go in and try to get these people out. And you know, somebody in officialdom obviously agreed with you on the day as well.
Yeah. And, you know, there was another person that reported that also the rescue efforts for a time were suspended, and two trucks backed up to the building, and a bunch of dudes with black coveralls or blue coveralls or whatever, they didn't have any ATF logo or anything like that on them, took out file cabinets and documents. And it was alleged, and I have not seen also smoking gun evidence to prove this, but it was alleged that the Whitewater files were being kept in that building, and they suspended rescue efforts so that they could extract those files. Very interesting, I think. We'll be right back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect Republic, RTR.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, crossed the sea of years. With no provisions, but no faces.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so let me go over a little bit of background information on Operation PatCon and what I'm talking about here. Undercover FBI agents posing as white supremacists gathered alarming intelligence about the militia movement during the early 1990s, according to many documents of which I have the copies in front of me. But the FBI headquarters abruptly terminated the undercover operation codenamed PatCon. This is an allegation. I don't know if they ever concluded it or whether they renamed it. You know how they do. You know, MKUltra was a thing, and it continued on after allegedly MKUltra program was terminated. So I don't believe when the government says things like the FBI, by the way, they have like these secret drives, you know, that escape the watchful eyes of FOIA. This was all blown out by The Intercept. So, but anyway, so they say that they terminated. This is Operation PatCon. It stands for Patriot Conspiracy. So I also find it very interesting how when many people have a gut feeling about things because they're seeing so many different things that don't add up, and they theorize. Folks, I have to tell you the difference between a theory and fact. If I have fact, I say so. And when it just smells and stinks to high heaven, but I can't necessarily pin something down and prove it, I say so. I try to be very cautious about that. But, you know, you guys know that the term conspiracy theory has been, you know, it's used as a as a smear, but as a matter of fact. And it's funny how they turn the truth into something that sounds like treasonous, you know. People do conspire. A matter of fact, Operation PatCon in and of itself is not a theory, and it is a conspiracy. Two or more people did a thing to affect an agenda. That's a conspiracy. It may be a good one. It may be a bad one. No, I'm not saying it's a good one, but you get the point that I'm trying to make. Just because somebody conspires to do something, it doesn't necessarily mean it's negative, and it doesn't mean that it's good. So this thing with conspiracy theory is always it's always easy for people to throw in there. So the timing could have hardly been worse. The networks at the time were targeted by an investigation were inflamed to violence by the Waco situation. Now, at least one individual targeted in the investigation was Andrea Strassmeyer, who was later linked to the Oklahoma City bomber, Timothy McVeigh. And there's a lot of information about that. I was reading over some court documents just last night. I'm not really ready to present that yet, but when I complete reading them, we're going to do another segment on that. Now, another target of the investigation was later linked to Eric Rudolph, who was the perpetrator of the 1996 Olympic Park bombing. Now, PatCon was said to be the centerpiece of an extensive investigation of militia and white supremacist groups in Arizona, Alabama, Tennessee, and Texas. I believe it was something a little bit different than that. And what I mean by that is it seems to me that PatCon was not just a centerpiece for an investigation, but a penetration. And in fact, sometimes an absolute creation. There were militia groups that were created by the very people who were informants and working for the government. We've seen that happen. And Bryce Cuellar ran into that. The Fisher of Men, the folks that Rudy and Aaron Davis have been advocating for so much, believes that he ran into one of those. That's how he ended up going to prison. That and a very dark moment in his life. But we'll talk about that another time. So from 91 to 93, at least three undercover agents working under the auspices of the FBI posed as members of a fictional white supremacist group seeking closer ties with the established organizations. So when you have informants in your ranks, and we saw this happen at the Bundy Ranch, we saw this happen in Oregon, it is unavoidable, and it creates all kinds of confusion. Nobody knows who to trust, which is part of the point, right? Because like, you don't know who you can trust and who you can't trust. So Gary, if you're listening, call in. 1-800-313-9443. Sorry about that, folks. I had to turn my phone off. Very interesting to me is how they create these organizations, these false organizations. Now, the FBI documents that I have, that I've been reviewing, describe the PatCon operation as well as the Bureau's efforts to penetrate a couple groups in Texas and one in Tennessee. Despite their success in gathering this intelligence on the militia movement, they say that it was terminated, this operation, in July 5th, 1993, 6 months after the disastrous siege at the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas. Now, if you believe that, I may have some swampland in Arizona to sell you. I don't believe it stopped. They may have morphed. It may have changed names. But we know, as a matter of fact, that there were undercover informants in Malheur, for instance. We also know that there were people at Malheur who were provocateurs, who were, and this is all public record. There's transcripts of this. I think, as a matter of fact, I think Gary Hunt has a lot of that published, doesn't he, Matt? I think so.
Yeah, there was stuff on that in his Freedom Outpost.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think it's Outpost of Freedom is what he's using now. Yeah, but the very same militia groups that were targeted by PatCon had been inflamed to violent action. Now, Waco did cause a lot of anger, but some of these folks were clearly provocateurs, and that's part of the problem. When you have a movement like the advocation of for the Hammonds cause, that's an authentic grassroots thing. But when you have these sleepers, and I call them sleepers because And I do believe there was one of them, and I believe she had a change of heart. I really do believe she had a change of heart, but she was known as Mama Bear, and she was paid by the FBI to gather information and report. And I think that she realized among the good-natured, good-hearted people that were there in Oregon that she was being used. I may be wrong, but that's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. And, you know, some people say, well, once an informant, you can never trust them. It's maybe. I tend to be a little bit Christian about it. And I say, you know, people can have a change of heart, which is the point. Matt, I think it's the point that we try and win hearts and minds. And once a heart or a mind has been won and somebody's already been exposed to being an informant, so you're not going to trust them with serious information in the future. But I do believe it's possible to have a change of heart. So you're familiar with this PatCon situation, and what do you think about the potential involvement of PatCon in the Oklahoma City situation? Do you think that's a strong possibility in your gut?
I think it's appalling, you know, that we have these sort of secretive government agencies that are running ops for political purposes. Mm-hmm. And informant programs, and I think not just as involves the Bundy situation, but the entire informant program needs to be readdressed. And I've seen the FBI documents on the informant program, and if you look at their own documents, you know, I think it's appalling. They're saying that they can pay these people, and that informants can even get a percentage of civil asset forfeitures on cases that they're involved in. Now, how mm-hmm. can somebody not see the moral hazard involved in that? And we saw recently in Houston this case where the two innocent people apparently were shot based on an informant's information, and that informant was let go. Apparently, there's over 1,400 cases that are now in limbo that he informed on. And, you know, how can you not see that if you pay somebody to inform on something that they might make it up? And, you know, the whole thing is appalling. You know, I live in Columbia, Missouri, and recently it was disclosed that there were operating for over 20 years in Columbia, Missouri, a brothel / drug dispensary. The cops knew it was going on. The cops worked almost daily with the owner of this thing under the guise of an informant program. And, you know, people were going in there and getting addicted to dangerous drugs. You know, this went on for 20 years. So there's something wrong with this informant business, and it needs to be addressed.
Well, there's something wrong with this government business. Look at Fast and Furious and things like that. I mean, it seems like the government, it's okay as long as the government is committing absolute felonies and crimes. It's okay because it's in the name of doing something else, but you and I do something like that, and well, you know what's going to happen to us. So we have a couple callers up. We have Davey in Texas. Davey, you're on.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, Davey, are you there?
I'm here now.
All right, sir. You're welcome to Resurrection Republic.
I'm glad you mentioned that word, because, you know, if you go back, the note in there is it saying global Jewish crime syndicate. The fact is that, you know, Americans, because they're you know, been brainwashed and hypnotized and Talmud vision, they have to believe the biggest conspiracy theory in the history of the world. That the Jews are Israel. We got to support Israel because they're the God's chosen people. Because all you got to do is read Genesis 1. It says Jesus is the Jew. You just got a Jew worship, and there's no way around it. And the fact
well,
is,
they are. I would say that Edward Bernays would be very pleased with the, you know, with the layer of public relations or propaganda that's used to support the state of Israel. I keep it simple when it comes to Israel. It's like this: the same reason that I oppose Israel is the same reason that I stood for the Bundy Ranch. I believe in self-determination, freedom, you know, private property.
Have you ever actually read the first five books of the Bible and seen the word Jew in the first five books of the Bible?
Well, yeah, but we're not really.
I understand, but it's like I was wanting to address the word government. The word government doesn't mean a global Jewish crime syndicate. And the word Israel doesn't mean Jewish. So calling
I agree that there's a massive, massive level of Zionist occupied positions there. And there's a huge amount of money through AIPAC and everything else that it's just subverting. I call it the Bolshevization of America, because these laws are not they're un-American. They silence free speech. Look at the term anti-Semitism. Any criticism and they've so overused it. But anyway, that's going kind of down a rabbit hole. We're kind of trying to stick to PacCon and that. Type
I was just wanting to touch a couple of things briefly, and one is bad faith. You know, it's just imperative to have guys like y'all out there, but our language needs to be purified. And the issue is, where does bad faith come from? How come that what you people call the United States government is a bad faith crime syndicate that murders people, you know? Yep. And the issue is, and this one reason I really wanted to call was because when anybody goes to file paperwork, it should be in the form of an affidavit. And you know, it doesn't take long to get your mind around how an affidavit needs to be constructed. And the issue is a statement of fact, which is true. And they have to produce some evidence to overcome that statement of truth. And see, they have no authority, none of them, because they act in bad faith. They're part of a global crime syndicate.
What they have now is they have force. And like we said, and I'll bring up again the case with Trenadu, right? He's a lawyer. So he knows full well how to maneuver that system. And his brother was in federal custody. Now, he was murdered. He was beaten. He was tortured. And he did everything he could to get the evidence, to get the case out, to release the files, to do it. When it comes down to this, when you have something that has become so corrupt as that we have, it's time to clean house. It's time to completely start over and go back to a restoration of constitutional government, which it's so difficult. It's so difficult. We have to get on to the next call. So I thank you for calling, brother. All right, Chris, near Las Vegas. Chris, you're on.
Well, good afternoon, Matt and Tom.
Oh, it's Chris was in Las Vegas. How you doing, Chris?
Well, I'm still here, regrettably, but I am under full-on assault by the war on conservatives here in America that is active and ongoing for at least the last 5 or 6 years, and myself, over 3 years.
Yeah, you have been drugged through the absolute mud. Brother, I'm surprised you're still standing. God bless you.
Well, I'm on round two now. The city has allied with the county, the state, and the federal government under their omni-jurisdictional joint terrorist task force and trying to frame the blame on me, the only victim, when there's no other victim of the crime or damage to private property whatsoever. Now they're trying to send me back for another competency assessment. And of course, I'm going to have to pay for my own to have some semblance of getting a fair determination, although I have three other witnesses from the county officers and the courts and stuff that testify to my competency, including the district attorney who petitioned me to be a witness before a grand jury less than a month ago. It's insane around here.
Yeah.
This Operation PatCon that you're talking about, gentlemen, is insidious. These confidential informants, they call them human sources or resources, confidential human sources, their new nomenclature for it. These are really arm's length of pairing operative agents of the FBI, and they're generally, like you say, being highly compensated as the one who made a false criminal complaint, a felony criminal complaint against me, claiming I assaulted him with a firearm, which had no basis whatsoever, that kind of set this whole thing in motion, although there may have been other things that preceded it. But then turning your people on your inner circle, violating your wedded vows and invading your home and turning your beloved mate into an operative agent to conspire against you with the police or the FBI or imposter FBI agents or Joint Terror Task Force operatives is the most insidious and most vile. I hear the music.
Hang on a second. Kill that one. Hey, can you kill that last one? We only have a little bit of time left. Thank you. Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Not a problem at all. Whenever they invade your wedded home, your privacy of your home, and put a standing soldier and you're sleeping with your frenemy or your beloved and think that she's on your side and she's been turned against you and developing false evidence, being suborned to commit felony perjury and red flag you and put you on, I mean, being on the terrorist watch list, I'm going through some things to get myself off.
I can vouch for that. I saw that happen to you. This is no theory, ladies and gentlemen, what Chris is talking about. I not only did I see it, I stayed in your home and I got to know your wife and what she presented herself and how your lives were, and it was a very happy home until what was the driving force? It wasn't disharmony in your household that started authentically within your household. It started from the outside. And who were you criticizing and who started the problem? It was not, you know, obviously it was the government that created that problem and then used her against you. And, you know, we saw with Sergeant Charles Dyer, right? He had this toxic relationship with the mother of his child, and he was outspoken, pro-militia, a real patriot. And what did they do? They got a hold of her, and then it was all kinds of crazy allegations that they put him in prison for. When there is, again, another one of these cases where there is clear-cut, damning evidence to prove his innocence, but the courts ignore it. This is why, you know, I'm having less faith with the court system, because you see people like, you know, Jeffrey Winehouse and Schaefer Cox and Charles Dyer, who, by the way, a lot of people abandoned him because of the nature of what they charged him with, which is a tactic. This is like the Bolshevism 101. You know, they want to smear you. They destroy your reputation, and they destroy it with people. Yeah.
This is not something new. This has been a historically proven tactic by the FBI, abusing their discretion, abusing governmental authority, and using these deep operative deep state tactics of Bolshevism to frame the blame on innocent people. They did the same thing with Martin Luther King. They did the same thing with, I mean, they had operatives all inside the Black Panthers. Not without consideration that Louis Farrakhan could be some associations with the deep state.
Anything they see as a threat, they penetrate. Now, there may have been a smoking. There's a little bit of some smoking evidence there to Martin Luther King, and of course he said a lot of great things. But he was known to consort with some communists, and you know. But anyway, the tactics, it doesn't make it right. Here's the problem that I have with all of that. Just if you have a government that's not acting with a moral compass, I don't care if you're attacking communists or you're attacking whatever it is that you're going after. You're not going to have a moral base for, you know, we know that the FBI was largely going after and were rightfully investigating a lot of communists. Look at the state of American politics. Now, you might as well say that most of the Democratic Party are communists. And this is a foreign ideology that is completely the antithesis to the Bill of Rights. An ever-expanding, bigger and bigger government that has more and more control. So, you know, just because, and this is part of the problem that I have, focusing on a real target, a real threat, is one thing. Using dirty, underhanded, scumbag tactics to do it is something else. And we saw that happen. I don't like the Black Panthers. I am completely, just completely polar opposite to their politics.
The new Black Panthers in particular.
But I have to say that back in, during the COINTELPRO days, what the FBI was doing was, it wasn't morally sound, was it?
It was not. Say, Tom, here's one last thing I'll close with. I was drugged back into the family court under the pretext that my so-called bride was fearful that I would get my guns back, supposedly, and making false claims that I was stalking and harassing her. I had her. She was on the stand. The judge was doing the question, but based upon my positive averment and rebuttal affidavit I had put in prior to, and the judge was really strange that day. But we had a spontaneous admission in the court, and the judge asked this question. I had posed that my wife had no first-party competent knowledge that I was trying to get my guns back, so she must have got it from someone or some other agency, and who was that? And she asked my wife, she says, "Well, Ms. Harkham, you claim your husband is trying to get his guns back. Can you tell me how you came to have that information?" She says, "Oh, well, the FBI called me up and told me he was and suggested I try to get this extension on the temporary restraining order." The judge says, "Miss Harkham,
the FBI. What is
Miss Harkham, if the FBI doesn't want your husband to get his guns back, they can figure that out himself. You're not getting your temporary restraining order, and I'm fighting for the adversary today." I mean, this was like Perry Mason's smoking gun moment on the witness stand, testifying that there's a conspiracy by the FBI, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, my wife, and about every agency of government and half the freaking court systems, Mr. Steve Wolfson, the district attorney, weaponizing the whole local city, county, and state governments to war against me in violation of Ex parte Milligan. I'm a non-military guy, but I do love America, and I did take an oath to guard, protect, and defend against all enemies in foreign and domestic.
Yeah. Well,
thank you, guys. I appreciate you putting the sunshine out there. I'll let you finish up.
You know, okay, all right. Thank you. Thank you so
much
for calling
in. Contact me sometime. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, Matt, one of the things that Rudy Davis did that I love so much, he created that site, I Hate the FBI, you know. It gives you a little bit of a chuckle, right? But, I mean, these agencies that they bring the power of their, their authority upon people in ways that first of all, I believe that all of these federal agencies are standing armies that should be abolished. So, Matt, thank you for joining me today. We've run out of time. Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media. We'll see you next Sunday.
Welcome to the face of the new democracy. Here in the land of the not so free. Oh, 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 oh.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.